Right, we're up to chapter 12, and let's see which page that is.
Have you got a book?
I'm going to give it to you. Okay. I'm going to give it to you. Here, it's page 47, 48 at the bottom. Right.
You forget about the teeth.
Yeah. Page 47, 48. The bottom page. Right. Good. You've got that. Right. 47, 40. That's right. Yeah. Right. Okay. Now this chapter, the Habenini. This chapter is about the Benini, and remember that Tanya is called the Book of the Benini, and the Benini is the real subject of Tanya. Now, let's just try and understand what is meant by the Benini. Does anyone know what the word Benini means? That's right.
It's something more than what we are.
At
least what I am. a bit on a higher level, maybe.
All right. Well, in which way?
On another sphere. A higher sphere, maybe.
In a sense, no. In a sense, each one of us could be a Benini at any moment if we only were going to make that decision that that's what we're going to be. So let's try and see why. It's quite right that the Benini is the intermediate person. Now, higher than the Benini is a tzaddik. And lower than a Benini is...
What kind of animal soul person?
It's ordinary, common garden flower.
Well, let's think about it.
A Russia. I don't think so.
Feminine water, but that's
fine. I think because we're not very 100% good doesn't make us bad. That's not right, is it? Mm-hmm. We're just human beings, darling. We're just human beings.
Then the people are very bad.
No. Oh, well, we're not in that. Right, we're not going to talk about people that are very bad.
The intermediate person has got a Nefesh HaBehemes. He's got an animal soul.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, so look. In fact, there are five levels. There's the intermediate person in the middle. There is the tzaddik, the righteous person, of which there are two levels, two types of tzaddik, higher than the Benini, and there's the Rasha, who is loosely translated the person who does evil occasionally. Just occasionally, it might be only once every 6 months, but that's the Rasha, the person who does evil sometimes, maybe only says evil and maybe only thinks evil. Are we in that category?
Yeah. What do we call evil? I don't know. What do we call evil?
Alright, that's an interesting question. Okay, what do we call evil?
I would say evil. Some would say that's evil. Other people say no. It depends what you mean.
Evil is something really, really quite horrible, I think. But we don't come into that. But what is it?
There's different varieties of something which in some way is not expressing the ideals of the Torah. You see, now if you say that the ideals of the Torah are good, they are beautiful, and anything which is hiding those ideals or not expressing them or concealing them, then that's something which is not good. It doesn't have to be so evil that it's going to make the headlines in the News of the World. But it's something which is not the highest thing that a person could achieve. You see, evil isn't necessarily doing something bad. It might not be doing something good. It might be having an opportunity to do something positive. It might be an opportunity to do 10 positive things, and you only did 8. And so you missed out on 2. And then you come to survey, what did you do in the day or in the week or in the month? And you say, oi, there were those extra two things I might have been able to do and I didn't bother. For some reason I felt too lazy, to this, to that, I was distracted and I didn't do it. Like, I remember once hearing a very, very moving story. It was about just before the beginning of the war, when it was possible to save children from Europe. The Nazis were in power. It was like a terrible situation for the Jews. And they were trying to send their children out of Germany, out of Austria. And they were asking people in England, please, if you would only say to the British government that you've got a place in your home for my child, then we'll be able to send this child and it'll... We don't know what's going to happen. You know, maybe it'll save its life. Which, in fact, what did happen. And there was a rabbi in London, and he went to a shul, and he gave a very, very beautiful, moving talk. It was a shul that was packed with people, and he gave a very moving talk about having these children from Europe. And after the talk, now his daughter, his 12-year-old daughter, went with him. And I heard the story, because this 12-year-old daughter, who's now a much older person, of course, told it to my wife, and my wife told me. So his 12-year-old daughter was with him, and he gave this talk to the shul. Shalom Aleichem, and Mazel Tov, a very warm Mazel Tov. Mrs. Safran has just married off a granddaughter. Imagine that, a granddaughter. Isn't that wonderful?
Wonderful.
Baruch Hashem. Have a lot of joy.
Yes.
And moved, and it should be with Nachas and with Simcha.
Amen. Amen.
Mazel the Tov, everything good in every way. It's absolutely
that's
wonderful.
That's good news.
Yes.
That's very good
Amen.
News.
That's Amen.
Lovely.
I'd
like to hear good news.
So his 12-year-old daughter went with him, and there is this rabbi giving a talk asking people to volunteer that they will take a child from a kinder transport, that they will take a child into their home. And after the rabbi gave the talk, about 100 people came up to him, and they all said, we want to take a child, we want to take two children. And his daughter was so pleased, it was so wonderful. And they went home, and they got home, and suddenly her father burst into tears. And she said, why are you crying? It was so successful. He said, yes, we got 150, 200 children, but do you know how many thousands and thousands of children there are? So he was crying for the ones that were not. So in other words, we're talking here about goods and bads, the Beinoni, the Tzaddik,
yes,
you see?
Sure.
You see, there's what one does and there's what one doesn't manage to do, and how does one feel about that? So, we're talking about the conflict between the divine soul and the animal soul. And the divine soul within us wants to connect with Hashem and wants to reveal godliness in the world, and it wants to reveal it particularly within the little patch of world which is immediately under its jurisdiction, which is this person, this person's thoughts, this person's speech, this person's actions, and this person's home in which they're living. And there is a way to make that home and that person and those words and those thoughts into a dwelling for Hashem in the most incredible way. It can be a mishkan, it can be a sanctuary, a temple. There it is, in that person's life, there's this glowing radiance of Torah thoughts, of beautiful spiritual thoughts, positive thoughts, positive words, good words, positive actions. And so that is what the divine soul wants. And then we have what the animal soul wants. Well, the animal soul might be a very tame and gentle animal. A lamb is an animal. And a person might have an animal soul like a lamb. A little lamb, very gentle, doesn't do anything negative. You know, you don't see lambs being aggressive. That's, but it's still an animal. It wants to eat. It's got a very sort of materialist focus. Even if it's in a gentle way, it's got a very materialist focus, eating, comfort. And then you have worse kinds or more aggressive kinds of animals. It might be a goring ox. Now that's also a kosher animal. Yes, the animal soul of a Jew is a kosher animal, but it could be quite a violent and aggressive animal, like a goring ox, which is also kosher. You slaughter the ox in the right way, we can eat it, just like we can eat the lamb. But it's a different kind of thing. And so you have these battling souls within the person, the divine soul and the animal soul. Now the tzaddik manages, firstly, to totally, totally neutralize the animal soul so that it doesn't even exert a pull. It doesn't have a say. It's dormant. It's inert.
But it still wants to eat.
Yeah, but it'll only do what the divine soul tells it. It doesn't have a will of its own. In a tzaddik, the reason why a tzaddik eats is because the Torah tells him to eat. You see, it's not an animal nature within him that makes him want to eat. It is the Torah says you have to eat in order to be healthy, right? So it's time to eat, so let's eat. But it's not that he's being pulled to eat. You know, when you're driving, so you look at the petrol gauge and you see it's near empty, so it needs more petrol. You don't feel a passion in yourself, oh, must have some petrol. You say, you know what, if we don't put some petrol in the car, we'll get stranded on the motorway. Yes. You haven't got a desire for petrol. You can see that it's a need for petrol.
It's a necessity.
Right? Now, so that is a way of adjusting to our body's need for food. Right, I can see that this body that I'm in charge of needs food, so we better make supper. It's spoken about in Tanya, about a rabbi who used to speak in that way about himself, about his body, like as if it was someone else. Oh, we've got to give food to it now. Got to see to it. That's one level of tzaddik, where the animal soul doesn't function as a force. It's completely inert. The second level, the higher level of tzaddik, is that the animal soul is not inert. It's been transformed. It's tremendously powerful in a totally positive way. And so he's got a kind of, or she has a double strength. There's the strength of the divine soul and the tremendously powerful strength of what could be a goring ox, but now it's rushing to learn Torah, to help another person, to set up a Chabad house or a school, or do this or do that, or to help someone get the key for their home. Whatever it might be, there it is. It's this driving energy. It's this driving energy to do good things. And that's the power of the animal soul when it's been transformed in the tzaddik. Okay, those are the two upper levels, the higher levels of a tzaddik. Then we have the beinoni. We're going to talk about the beinoni in a moment. And lower than the beinoni, lower than the intermediate person, is the rosha, what Tanya calls the Rasha. Now it's not, now Rasha, a Rasha usually means an evildoer, and this person is not necessarily an evildoer, and in English, and even the way in Jewish expression one calls a person a Rasha, they're not that either. But what they are is someone in whom it occasionally happens that the animal soul gets the better of the divine soul. It happens that the animal soul gets the better of the divine soul. Now it might happen very rarely. It might be just occasionally. There might be this person, you know, one of the most difficult mitzvahs to keep is Ahavat Yisrael, love of one's fellow.
Yeah.
Because very often there's someone or other who it's very, very difficult to keep one's temper with or something like that. You know, like, and most people you might be very good with. You know, always very kind and gentle and the right approach and the right balance. But there's just one person that somehow it immediately goes wrong, you start shouting. Could there be such a
that's it.
Not very often. Well, you see, now you have the question.
Not very often, but
how often do you see this person?
Not very
if it's
often.
Only once a month.
I just keep out the way.
Every day. All right.
Well, out the way.
Well, you see, if it's only once a month or once every 2 months, so you're able to control that it's once every 2 months the animal soul really gets the better, and it's not a
keep
lamb.
Out the way. I keep
it's
out
a
the way,
raging bull. For a few minutes. But only once every 2 months.
Oh, no, not very often.
Not very often. But on the other hand, you might be thrown into a relationship with this person every day, and they may be the immediate superior in one's job or something like that, and there it is every day. You have this, you know, either this grumble, either inside or outside, either it's expressed or it's inside yourself in like some really nasty thoughts about this person. And so, you know, there we have the challenges of life.
We have to be a bit amicable.
Yes,
you know?
Right. Okay. At least from
horrible,
pretend
but
to
it's
be. Yes.
Just that our personalities clash.
Right.
It's quite nice. There's someone I work with. They're not unpleasant, but it's just whatever it is. I don't know. It's just our personalities do not. We clash.
See, the interesting thing is that God.
All my other colleagues, no problem. Just this one. It's the fact that we just seem to.
Happen.
We just seem to clash. I don't know what it is.
You see, Hashem puts each person into their.
No problem.
Hashem puts each person into a situation where they are given particular struggles, and that struggle, you know, that might be one's real task for the day. It's easy to say, you know, because I work with the most wonderful people. We never have any conflicts.
You're
whatsoever.
Not only lucky. My management, it's just one member of staff that I work with, very nice girl, herself, but we've never actually hit it off, if you know what I mean. From the minute she came into the joint department, we never seemed to actually hit it off. You know, there's always been a bit of a trying to be pleasant, just trying to
there are different ways of thinking about it. I mean, sometimes one of the ways of responding to a very difficult person is by feeling sorry for them. You think, Nebuch, you know, that person, you know, they've got such a difficult approach to life, you know. All right, so wait a second, ladies, we haven't yet reached the Beinoni, the intermediate person. So the Rasha sometimes gives into the animal soul, maybe it's once every 2 months, once a month, once a week, once a day, once an hour, once every 5 minutes. And then you get a person in whom the animal soul is totally in control, and the divine soul is sort of knocked out of the picture, God forbid. And that is a lower level of Russia. That's a really serious level of Russia.
Has he got out from control?
He's out of control, like, because his animal soul is totally dominating him. And he might behave in very, very bad ways, sometimes disguised. You know, there are some very charming people who are really very wicked, and so it's disguised, but it's the animal soul which is like putting on this like nice front, but really a very
very
problematic.
They're really bullies,
they
are bullies, really, but they know how to
now
do
that
it.
That person
they are not sick.
Is in a very deep exile.
They're sick.
Well, listen, sick in the sense the whole society is not as well as it might be. So there is a exile, Golos. That person is in Golos because his divine soul is this most beautiful neshama, this absolutely beautiful soul which is yearning to do good things, but it's trapped. It's trapped by this violent animal soul which won't let it do those good things, and so the animal soul is dragging it this way and that way. So now we have the Beinoni, the intermediate person. And the intermediate person is someone in whom there is a divine soul and there's an animal soul. And the animal soul might be very powerful, but the intermediate person never allows the animal soul to take control. The animal soul, thank you. The animal soul is always kept under the control of the divine soul, and every single moment it is the divine soul which is acting. That's what the Beinoni is. The Beinoni is the intermediate person who is always in control. And what Rabbi Shneur Zalman says is that any of us can be this at any time. We can make the decision. That is what we're going to do from now on. That's what we're going to do from now on. We are going to control ourselves completely. Okay, so let's look at that in the text. V'ha Beinoni, Perek Yud.
So we need to aim to be a Beinoni.
Yes. That's what we should be striving towards. V'ha Beinoni. Vahabeinani, and the intermediate person who shalom ein harag goyva kolkach. This is someone that always the bad does not take power so much. Lichboisha sa'ir katana, to conquer the little city. This is the image that he uses, that the animal soul and the divine soul are like two kings warring over a city, and each one wants to control it. In other words, it's not able, the animal soul, the bad, is not able to conquer the city, la hislabish beguf, to be enclosed in the body, la hachatiyoy, to make the body sin, which might be sinning, God forbid, in action, or in speech, or just in thought. But that's also very problematic. The hainu, and that means, shloy shalavushe nefesh bahamis, that the three garments of the animal soul, Shehei Machshava Dibro Maisa, thought, speech, and action, those are the garments of the soul, that they, Shemitzad HaKlipa, which come from the clipper, from the shell, from the concealment of God. You see, that's because it's a garment of the animal soul. Ein Goivrim Boy Al Nefshelikis, they never take power over the divine soul, Lehislabish Beguf, and to be enclosed. If they did take power over the divine soul, then these expressions of the animal soul would be enclosed in the body, b'moyach, and in the brain, u'b'peh, and in one's mouth, u'b'shara machivarim, and one's other 248 limbs, lahachatiyam, to make them sin, or the tamom chas v'shalom, or to make them impure. If we use our minds in an inappropriate way, We say inappropriate things. We're defiling ourselves. We're making ourselves impure. So sin is a form of defilement, of making impure the spiritual dimensions which are within us. But in the case of this person, he never allows the animal soul to have such power. He is always able to be in control. Only the three garments of the divine soul, their thought, speech and action, they are the only forces which are enclosed in his body. They are the thought, speech and action of the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah in their broadest expression, and also in the sense of making daily life into something holy. You see, there are many mitzvahs. There are many mitzvahs which are telling us, this is what you're allowed to eat, this is what you're not allowed to eat, this is what you're allowed to do, this is what you're not allowed to do. There's a mitzvah which is in this week's sedra, Kedoshim. This week there are two sedras, one after the other, and the second one is called Kedoshim. And Kedoshim means holy, and it begins off with the words, you should be holy. And being holy means, one of the explanations of this, is that it means that in the ordinary things of our life, which are permitted by the Torah, in that area we should be holy. There's a way in which we should be distinctively holy in the ordinary everyday actions which are permitted by the Torah. And so there too we fulfill that guidance that we should make every aspect of our life holy. And this is what the Beinoni is, that his or her entire life is an expression of goodness and holiness. V'loy ovar aveda miyomav, he never in his life transgressed a transgression. V'loy yava la'olam, and he never will transgress forever. V'loy nikra alav shem rasha, and the name rasha, evildoer, has never been called on him, has never been applied to him, afilu shah achas v'rega ochad kol yomav, not even for one moment his whole life. Now, these last couple of lines might make it seem that the Beinoni is sort of born a Beinoni, and that's why he never in his whole life did a single transgression. But many commentaries on Tanya say that that's not what it's meant. It's from the moment, the person might have done all kinds of complicated things, but from the moment that he or she decides, I'm never going to give in to my animal soul, and they do this consistently, they've moved into another category of life, and it's another category of consciousness that they would never and have never allowed their animal soul to take over. So it's something that one might start in the most negative way one could imagine, but then moving up and up and up and up, and then coming to this point of taking control. It's a little bit like learning to drive. You know, in England, I don't know if they still do this, but many, many, many years ago when I learned to drive, they did it in such a way that they had a car with two driving wheels, and the learner was sitting at one driving wheel and the teacher was sitting at the other driving wheel. And the learner would often make mistakes, and so the teacher, he had more force, and so he could make the car go in the right way, even though you, the learner, or me, the learner, was driving it in the wrong way. And then there comes a point where you take control. And it's like that inside ourselves. Unfortunately, we don't usually have a teacher, a driving instructor inside us. We usually make a lot of mistakes. So for a certain period of time, you know, 40 years or something, we make mistakes, and then we start trying to take control.
We can become our own instructor.
That,
Rosh Hashem.
Well, yes, well, that's a nice idea.
You can take from experience, though.
Yes, that's a nice idea.
You have to learn about experiences as well, though, in your life.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about experience is that the message from experience is a very mixed message. You need to filter the experience through the Torah ideal, because otherwise experience could actually have quite a negative message. And so the Torah might say, don't give up. You know, the ordinary message of experience we may read it in the wrong way.
What I mean by that is, people say as you get older you gain the experience, the knowledge, you should have maybe the experience to carry something through or to do something that maybe you couldn't handle. More experience of life.
Sometimes.
Sometimes
it works for games.
Sometimes
it doesn't work.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So there we have. Yeah, you can take this. Take.
Can I take a cup of this?
Yeah. Just take. So there we have the divine soul always controlling the person in a positive way. But, we're at the line which is 4, 8, 9, 10, 11 lines down. That's the beginning word on the line. Mahus va'atzmus nefshel ekis. But the very essence of the divine soul, shehein etzeh b'chinaseya, which are its 10 qualities, like the 10 spheres, the 10 divine emanations of the divine soul, loy lahen levadon, Hamalucho v'amemshala be'ir katana. They do not have sole rule in the little city, in the life of the person, ki im ve'itim muzumonim, except at certain special times. Now, one second, let's just take this very slowly. We've reached the end of our time, but we're going to take this very slowly, just these 2 points. The first thing is that the divine soul doesn't have sole rule. What does that mean? The desires, the pull of the animal soul is still there. The only thing is that as it pulls you, you push it away, or you move yourself away. You don't allow yourself to be pulled in that direction. The animal soul is trying to pull you to lose your temper, and you just won't let yourself be pulled. You smile sweetly. You don't let it pull you. It's like you need to be very cunning sometimes, and I think you need a very good sense of humor. The Beinoni, the genuine Beinoni, in my belief, has a very good sense of humor, and he's able to laugh at himself. The great teacher Rabbi Mendel Futterfass, who inspired Rabbi Parash and myself and many other people here, he had a tremendous, tremendous sense of humor, and you could see he didn't allow himself to fool himself.
Certainly wasn't that one. Mm-hmm.
Well, he passed away some years ago. His son lives in this community and is himself a very wonderful person. Now, so the first thing is that the divine soul is the dominant, total force in this person's life, in the Bein in his life. The active force making the person think and say and do what the divine soul wants, but there is still an animal soul which is pulling in another direction, and you just never ever let it pull you. It's as if you're driving a car where there may be something wrong with the car. Have you ever driven a car which keeps moving to the left? You know, it's like, and you have to keep tugging on the wheel. Maybe the wheels, the driving wheels aren't balanced properly, there's something wrong with it, and you have to keep pulling over, but you're not going to let the car drive off into the edge of the road. You keep it going in the right way. So however much, you know, maybe you'll slow down because it's too dangerous, but you are going to remain in control.
Self-control.
Yes, it is self-control. It is self-control, and the only thing that I would suggest in addition is that the self-control is partly a very, very subtle dealing with oneself. You know, it's not only using an iron will. There are people who have an iron will, and that's wonderful. But there's another aspect to it. and it's being able to cope with the negativity in oneself in a sort of subtle and clever way that you deal with it. And it may be more subtle than just saying no. It's something else. And the clue to this is in the next line. Ki im be'itim muzumonim, except at certain times, k'moy b'shas kriyishma al, like the time of saying the Shema. Now we're going to end over here, but what he's telling us is that there can be moments in the day when we are inspired. And when we are inspired, at that moment, the animal soul has no power whatsoever. It stops its negative pulling in the wrong direction. It's suddenly completely silent. It might even, for a little while, be transformed. It might be moving in the same direction as the divine soul. And so when we say the Shema, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And we feel that oneness of God. And the way that Hashem is our God, says elsewhere in Tanya, Hashem is our God, the same way you can say the God of Abraham, you can say your God as well. It's your God. God gives himself to you. And we, in return, we give ourselves to God. And at that moment, the animal soul might well be totally inert. And so this is a moment where just the divine soul is operating. Okay, so it's on that note that we will try to continue next week with the help of Hashem.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.